Hey, I'm Ron Moore, and I am here with Tunch Ilkin, pastor of men's ministry here at the Bible Chapel and the color analyst for the Steelers broadcast, radio broadcast.
Yeah.
Radio broadcast. I have introduced you a lot of times. I always mess that up. Why do I do that?
I don't know, because it's easy to mess up.
We are going through Tunch's life map. And Tunch, I got to tell you, this is our second installment
right.
of this, right? The first time we had a great time listening to your story
yeah.
of coming from Turkey,
yes.
growing up in Chicago, a fan of the Chicago White Sox, Gale Sayers, some football players, your dad.
Dick Butkus, Doug Buffon.
Yeah. Your dad started watching football.
Yeah.
And you got into as well, playing on the streets.
Right.
Playing junior high, playing high school.
Right.
And then a coach. We talked about in our life map our high times, our hard times.
Right.
Our influencers, and then the hand of God.
Yeah.
And you had some coaches that really just encouraged you. You go to Indiana State for a particular reason. Why did you go to Indiana State?
I went to Indiana State because I had three scholarship offers. Indiana State, Illinois State, Eastern Illinois. But Indiana State had lights. And so and no one was going from my high school to Indiana State. So that's why I went there.
I love the story. They had lights.
Yeah.
Indiana State. Terre Haute, Indiana.
Right.
Every time we go to Oklahoma, I drive through Terre Haute. I always tell Tunch, I'm here looking at your statue.
I don't got a statue.
Here on the campus.
I got a statue. You know what? Jim Wexel wrote a book about the last time the Steelers were in the Super Bowl. And he went to the Ballyhoo Tavern. And he said, I want to ask you about Tunch Ilkin. He said, I don't know Tunch Ilkin.
Well, Indiana State, Terre Haute actually is a pretty cool, pretty cool little town. So you go to Indiana State. Did you start your experience there? Like, were you like starter right off?
No. I was, my freshman year, I hurt my knee, and I didn't suit up for any games. But in spring ball, I think I got good. And I was the backup center to Ron Carpenter. And Ron Carpenter was a great center. And I played on special teams. And I loved special teams. I loved going down and cracking guys. And but then the next year, I started.
Okay, so you started your sophomore, junior.
Yeah.
And senior year.
Yeah.
Tunch, at what point?
Junior year, senior year, and redshirt year.
In redshirt year.
Yeah.
What point did you believe that, you know what, I could do this professionally?
Yeah. Well, Coach Dole, he was my offensive line coach, and he said, Tunch, you're good. And Dave McGinnis, when the new coaching staff came in, Dave McGinnis told me that his roommate played center at TCU, and he played center at the Philadelphia Eagles. And Dave McGinnis said, Tunch, you're very good. So you have an opportunity to play in the NFL. And Dave McGinnis, he was a head coach of the Chicago Bears, head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, head coach of the Tennessee Titans. And he was... Mm-hmm. Great guy.
So a lot of times people will tell us we can do something, but we don't believe it inside.
Right.
Do you remember a time, was like an epiphany, like you said, man, I think I could. He says I can, but I really believe I could play in the NFL.
You know, I didn't think that I could play in the NFL and in my college days. But my agent told me that I was going to be a late round draft pick or a free agent. And so one of the things I was that, you know, back then there wasn't the whole hoopla of the draft.
Okay.
And so, I left my off-campus housing, and I went in to work out, and I went to class, and they called me up, and I wasn't there. So they called up my mom, and Chuck Noll said, "Congratulations, Ms. Zilkin. Tunch, your son Tunch just was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers." And she freaked out because she thought I was drafted in the Army. And so she called up Sharon, and she said, and Sharon calls me up, and she said, "Congratulations, you got drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Your mom got a call from Chuck Noll." I said, "No, that's a joke. Yeah, someone's joking." And then so as soon as I got off where there, Chuck Noll called me.
Okay.
And he said, "Congratulations, Tunch, you're a Steeler
cool.
now."
That's cool. So no cameras at your house, filming you to see how you're going to react?
No.
So your agent said you could go late round or you could go free agent.
Right.
You get drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. So now you're headed off to play for this like perennial Super Bowl team.
Yeah, four-time Super Bowl champion.
Before we get there, I want to back up a little bit. You're playing football in college.
Right.
Were you like one of those guys like you just played football and not like that was it? You're lifting, you're playing football, you're going to class, or did you participate in other were you kind of like a full-rounded person, or what? If we saw you on a college campus, who would we see?
Well, I went the end of the semester, and I crammed for classes.
Okay.
I wasn't a good student, okay. But I passed, and I got C's, and I wasn't a student. But I was working hard to play the NFL. I was lifting weights. I was running, that's was my life.
So you were really focused on football right. all through your college. Not a believer at this time.
Right. No.
Muslim, but kind of, sorta.
Yeah.
What did you think about Christians?
You know, I admired the Christians. I told you last time, Mike Rutherford. He was a backup quarterback, and he was a Christian, and he didn't do drugs. I did drugs. He didn't drink. I drank, and I admired him because he mm-hmm. was a straight-laced kind of guy, and I always wanted to talk to him when I gave my life to Christ, and mm-hmm. I haven't talked to him yet, but I wish I had.
As a college student, did you think about spiritual things at all or much? Or did you, I mean, this guy was a great role model,
right.
A good guy. You wanted to, follow his example. A lot of guys did, I'm sure. Did you think about spiritual things? Did you think about eternity? Was that even in your psyche at that time?
That wasn't in my brain. The fact that I admired Mike Rutherford was because he didn't succumb to peer pressure. He didn't succumb to the drugs. He didn't succumb to the alcohol. And I admired him.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any professors that you looked up to or maybe encouraged you along the way?
No, I didn't. But I had one professor when I went into a class. I was gonna study PE, mm-hmm. but there was too many science and math classes, and I was stupid at math and science. And so one day we went into a class, broadcast journalism, and he said, "There's a plane crash at Terre Haute County Airport, He started giving us a fake press conference, and he said, "Write a story." And then I wrote a story, and it was fun. I just wanted to get into broadcasting.
That's cool. So you're still thinking, I'm going to play football.
Right.
But broadcasting was something you enjoyed, right. and yeah. isn't it cool? So the hand of God, right?
Right.
Here you've been doing that since 1999?
94. 94.
And a guy, you walk into a class, and a guy paints this picture, and right. you start enjoying it, right?
Yeah.
No coincidence in yeah. God's economy, huh?
Yeah, and, you know, that was great. I love broadcasting. I love the, you know, I did a radio show, and I was the midnight rider. And, you know, I kept going, dude, man, that was the Rolling Stones at Altamont.
So you did a radio show at Indiana State.
Right. And then I did a Super Bowl radio show with the Steelers, played the LA Rams.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay, so Chuck No Calls.
Yeah.
Time to go. Talk about the emotions of packing your bags, getting in your car.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming you drove.
Yeah.
And driving to Pittsburgh and walking into this thing that's like bigger than life.
Right. Yeah. So I had a roommate. I had a roommate named Jared Glusick, and he was an All-American defensive end. And so I told the Steelers about him, and they signed him as a free agent. So Jerry lived in McKeesport. So Jerry asked me to come and live with his family, and so we could work out, and we could run together, and we could lift together. And so I came to his house, and we started working out together. And then training camp, we come into the training camp, and it was so intimidating. It was so intimidating. And, you know, when I saw the veterans come in, so we were there a week before the veterans. And so when I saw the veterans, I saw Webby, John, Mike Webster, John Kolb, Larry Brown, Franco Harris, Jack Lambert, and on and on and on, all these guys coming down the hill. And I was so, I was thinking, would it be inappropriate for me to ask their autographs? Because I don't want to get cut and go home empty-handed.
When you get drafted, do the Steelers like send you a workout schedule, or here's what you need to do, and you better come to camp in shape, or you kind of on your own to get there prepared?
Well, you know, we came in the weekend after the draft for rookie orientation. And they showed us how they wanted us to run. So I started running in Chicago, but then I came over with Jerry, and we started running 350s every day.
Tunch, we'll talk about on the field stuff in a second. There's a great story you tell about kind of the culture. I love the story. The culture of the Steelers, and I'm not sure how it fit in here, but you and two or three other guys were in the front office, and there's a story of Art Rooney.
Right, right.
Tell that story.
So the weekend before the draft, they brought me and Ted Walton and Nate Washington Nate Johnson to have a physical. And we were sitting in the lobby, and with the four Super Bowl trophies, and we were sitting getting ready. We just had our physicals. We were getting ready to meet Chuck Noll. And when the chief walked in, Art Rooney Sr., and he had a cardigan sweater that was misbuttoned, and he was cleaning the ashtrays. And he had a giant ashtray, and back then you could smoke in the lobby. And so he said, "Hello, young fellas, what are your names?" And so we, Ted Walton, me, and Nate Johnson didn't tell his name. And Nate said, "Are you the janitor here?" And the chief swelled up, and he said, I do a little bit of everything around here. And so he was honored to be thought of as a working man, and because the chief said, I worked at the steel mill. I came home for lunch and I didn't go back.
that was the culture, the blue collar, hard worker, rolled up your sleeve. That was the Steeler culture, right?
Right. Yeah.
So you come in, you go to camp. Walk through that. What happens? What happens next?
Well, I got hurt, and and I didn't play the first two preseason games. I played the third exhibition game, and I had two mental errors, and I gave up a sack, and then I was cut the next Monday, and so when I went into the locker room, Ralph Berlin said, the trainer, he said, Chuck wants to see you in his office.
Did you know that's not a good thing? Or?
Yeah, I knew that was not a good thing. But I thought, he said, he didn't say bring your playbook. When they cut you, they always tell you to bring your playbook. So I walked in his office, and the guys were saying, maybe you're going to be put on injured reserve, because they hit players, and they put them on injured reserve. That way, and so I walked into Chuck's office, and he said, "Tunch, we had to ask waivers on you this morning." And I said, ask waivers. I didn't know what that was. Figured it couldn't be all that bad. He had to ask permission. And then I realized he was cutting me. And then he said, "Tunch, I want you to stay in shape, because if anybody gets hurt, we're going to call you back."
Okay.
And I thought he said that just because he didn't want me to cry, but I cried anyways.
Talk about that. So a lot of guys out there are going through a lot of challenging out with work.
Yeah.
Talk about the emotion of that. When you walked out of his office, I mean, how did it feel?
Yeah, I was hurt. I was disappointed. And Wolf and I were best friends, and so I went to Craig Wolfley, and I said in the immortal words of Jean-Paul Sartre, "Au revoir, gopher." And that was from Stripes or Caddyshack, and Stripes. And so I went home. My parents moved to San Francisco, and so I went home. And I lived at my buddy Marty Sordell's back porch. And I had a cot and a dresser. And I got a job at a health club. So I was working out all day, and I was running on my lunch hour. And then I was playing touch football. And I learned all these pass rush moves from Joe Green, Dwight White, L.C. Greenwood. I was using them on middle-aged men I was leading. I don't like to brag. I don't like to brag, but I was leading the league at sacks. And so one day we used to go to a bar and watch Monday Night Football after our Monday Night Touch football games. And so we were watching the Redskins and the Giants. And I go, I can play for these guys. And my buddy said, "Oh no, you're with us. You're touch football." And so that morning, the morning after, Chuck called me up and he said, "Touch, are you in shape?" I said, "Yes, coach." He said, "Can you get on the next flight?" And so I had a double bag full of dirty laundry, and I had a Chicago Health Club ugly sweatsuit, and it was flood pants. And I looked like an immigrant for the second time in a row. And one of the things I did was Monday night we were playing the Raiders on Monday Night Football. And I was on every special team. And so I was looking around in the opening kickoff. I was looking around at the stadium, and I go, last Monday I was playing touch football. This Monday I'm playing in the NFL. Is this a great country or what?
I love that story of football in San Francisco, right. Touch football 1 week, and Monday Night Football the next. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, Chicago. I was in Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago.
My folks moved and they didn't tell me.
didn't let you know about that.
Yeah, they did.
When you get to the Steelers, and we're going to wrap up this section in a second. Talk about you and Craig Wolfley.
Right.
Have an amazing relationship.
Right.
Tell me about meeting him and what your first, you know, reactions to him. He's a wild man.
Right.
And just your first interaction and thoughts about Craig Wolfley.
You know, I love Craig from the morning, from the moment I met him. We were roommates, he shared Jesus with me.
Right off the bat.
And, you know, I loved him. And, you know, when I got to the Steelers the second time after being cut, you know, I saw these guys that loved each other, loved me, and loved Jesus. And I tell you all the time that I fell in love with the body of Christ before the first person of Christ. And then one night on the way back from Monday Night Football at the Raiders, that was my first start, Webby trapped me in the back of the thing, and he shared the gospel with me. He said, all have sinned. You know, said, Tunch, if you died today, where would you spend eternity? I said, you know, Webby, I don't know if God grades on a curve, you know, I may get into heaven. He said, but God does a grade on a curve. Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the penalty for, at 6:23, the penalty for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life, and it is in Jesus Christ. And so, I was starting to be attracted to the gospel. And he kept telling me about the gospel. And one time I went with Wolf at a football banquet, and he said, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this eternal life is his son, Jesus. He who has the son has eternal life. He who does not have the son does not have eternal life. I tell you this so that you may know that you may know that you may know that you have eternal life. And then when I left him, he said, he dropped me off at my house, and I said, Tunch, do you want to ask Jesus into your life? And I said, no, that'd be too weird. And so he said, as I was walking away, he said, don't wait too long, because I'd hate to have you die before you made that commitment. And so, and then I was reading the book, The Late Great Planet Earth, and Hal Lindsey offers the sinner's prayer at the end of the book. And I finished the book, and I asked the Lord into my life. And when I went back to the locker room, I said, Woof, I gave my life to Jesus last night. And cool. he said, Colby, Webby, we got another one.
Do you remember when you trusted in Christ? I'm going to go back to this because you say this often, and I love this, and I think it's so true. You fell in love with the body of Christ
right.
before the person of Christ.
Right.
Talk to guys out there, men and women,
yeah,
who are raising kids. Right. They're in the workplace. They're, you know, doing life.
Yeah.
How important it is to demonstrate what it really looks like to follow hard after Christ.
Yeah, you know, Ron, I saw these guys. They were following hard after Christ. And I saw these guys, and I said, they have a unique personality. They have a unique perspective of life. And so I just kept on asking them. Mm-hmm. I asked them, Who is this Jesus? How do you know Jesus? And they told me. And so, I wanted to follow hard after Christ because, you know, Hollis was our chaplain, Hollis Hack.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I gave my life to Christ, he took me on a mission trip to Canada.
Okay.
And, you know, and I was there with a bunch of guys and I shared my testimony. And, you know, I just wanted to follow Christ. You know, you say follow hard after Christ. I wanted to follow hard after Christ.
Coming to Christ, we're going to wrap up here in just one second.
Yeah.
I want to do a couple things. Following Christ is one thing, right?
And
the most important thing. And we have to grow in that relationship.
Right.
There are a lot of guys, as you know, that are, they trusted in Christ, but they're like infants for a long time. What'd you do that helped you really grow as a follower? How did you become we call it, a lot of times we use the language, become discipled, right?
Yeah.
Grow in your relationship with Christ.
So, you know, Hollis discipled us. And we went into a Bible study with Hollis, and I went into a Bible study with Webby, and I went into a Bible study with John Kolb. And I started, you know, I was hungry for the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
I was asking them all sorts of questions, and I was hungry for the Word of God. And when I became the youth pastor, I asked Dave Good, who is a founder of this church, I asked him to disciple me. And every Wednesday morning, I went to his office, and we had a Bible study. And I gained the love of the Word through him because he loved the Word.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Okay, we got to wrap up. So a little teaser for next time, okay?
Yeah.
We're going to continue talking about some of your early years, and then we want to talk about your captain years, right?
Huh.
Talk about the time when, you know, you go and you're talking Hall of Famers, right?
Yeah.
On the Steelers and Super Bowl champs and the whole bit. You're a rookie, and then you're a first year player. So you finally kind of you're part of the team now, right?
Right. Finally, starter.
Finally, a starter. Talk about the time for a little teaser for our next session when you like realized, man, I'm not like a rookie anymore. I'm not following these guys. People are looking up to me. Do you remember kind of that when that happened?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that happened to me is in the strike of 85, I became the player rep.
Okay.
And so 86 and 87, there was a strike and, you know, I was in leadership. And then that year ended and Chuck made me a captain. And so
now that's only you're not five or that was your fifth or sixth season.
That was my eighth season.
Eighth season. Okay, so he appointed you as a captain. Okay,
right. Great. You know, and you know, and I love being captain. I love being a leader. I love the guys, and that's what I was. And you know, and I started to grow. In, you know, when I was the player rep, I said to myself, oh boy, I don't know if I can do this, Lord. And I didn't hear God's voice, but he said, look for Jesus. And Wolf told me, look for Jesus. And so that I was looking for Jesus through the strike and through the circumstances I had.
That's cool. Tonch, it's always great to do this together.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We want to catch up next time, start there, kind of in those in some experiences of the early days and then moving into the all pro days.
Right.
But thanks for doing this. I really
love
appreciate
you, buddy.
It.
Love
you,
too.
I love you. Let me pray real quick for us. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be there. Thank you, Lord, for Tonch. The way your hand has been up on him throughout his entire life, the way you looked down and said, looked at Tunch and said, "You are mine." And you protected him and orchestrated his life in such a way that you gave him a platform to share Jesus with a lot of people. And not only tell them about Jesus, but show them what it looks like to trust in Jesus. We continue to lift Tunch up to you, be with him, heal his body. Lord, we pray. And we ask, Lord, that you use our time today to bring just one person to a saving relationship in Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, man.
Thank you.